you are about to get notified.
KUCI. It makes me wanna. 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 KUCI 88.9 FM in Irvine.
The opinions and views expressed in this program do not reflect those of KUCI, its management, or the UC Board of Regents.
You heard it there, folks. The UC Board of Regents doesn't agree necessarily with anything that is being said on the show, but that's okay because we still love them. You are listening to Get Notified here at KUCI, and that is 88.9 FM. I am your DJ Ginger MC. You can show me some Tom Tag love at Ryan Folland on Twitter and at Ryan.Folland on Instagram. I am super pumped today because I have two very special guests. One I think is specialer than the other because the one is always here. Matt, you're always here. Don't get me wrong. You're still special, okay?
Okay.
And I'm excited because we're talking about how to use social media when it comes to this thing called market validation and obtaining new users and customers. And if you're sitting there thinking to yourself, wait a minute, I don't have a product, I don't have a business, I don't have a company, I don't want to validate my market, I don't want any of that, you are wrong, because you can still validate your friends, you can do market research on different ideas, you can apply these things to a wedding that you're doing, you can apply these to a birthday party, and when it comes to user and customer acquisition, the same sort of thing. A lot of times, whether you have a business or not, you might have a nonprofit that you want to support, or you might have a jogathon that your son or your daughter's doing. And user customer acquisition can be loose terms for just about anyone who you want to build a relationship with in life. Now, our guest today here is an alum, a prestigious alum, and she's got an exciting story about her time at UCI, and she can't seem to leave us alone because she is still here. Now, I've got her first name down, and I've known her for years, and I have never successfully pronounced her last name, so I will let her announce herself. But this is the great, the amazing, the Isosa. Isosa, how are you doing this morning? Matt, clap for her. Yay!
Well, thank you very much, Ryan, for having me on today's program. I am Isosa Agbonwanitan.
Abwaganahan.
Close.
Say it one more time.
Isosa Agbonwanitan.
Isosa Agbonwanitan.
That's a mouthful.
Say it, Matt. I want to hear you try to say it.
Isosa Agbonwanitan.
Oh, wow. He got it better than I did, didn't he?
Close there.
I don't think so.
Agbonwanitan.
Agbonwanitan.
Perfect.
Well, you are more interesting than your last name, and I'm just so pumped to see you here because we've had a lot of time that we spent together at the old Entrepreneur Center, and that's where anteaters become entrepreneurs.
Yes.
But I'd love to let everyone know right out the gates about your story, because stories are the most powerful thing in the world besides love. And that's what we're going to start. We're going to start with some power this morning. This is going to be audible coffee. All right. Well, stop smiling so much because you got to start talking. She's just laughing.
I guess.
Okay. So tell us about your story.
Yes. So I came to UCI in 2009. And I originally started out as a bio major. I was pre-med, very interested in neuroscience. And early on, I started having other interests in anthropology. I picked that up my second year as a minor. And then by going to those classes and having passionate discussions, it really just opened the door to other possibilities on campus. So basically, fast forward to 2 years later, I ended up competing in the Butterworth Product Development Competition, and we took home third place with AntMap. And through that experience,
Wait a minute. What is AntMap?
Thank you. So AntMap is a mobile platform to help students organize the events on campus. So it was really supposed to serve as a central hub to help people find events on campus, because you usually go through Facebook and several other means of social media, but you never found a place that you could find personal events.
Look at you solving problems. Solving problems for the anteaters. Now, you said this Butterworth competition, GTO Butterworth competition. It's not a cooking situation, is it?
I wish it was. I'm a big foodie. But Butterworth was actually a software development competition. So we were able to participate on the design competition where we were able to create a mobile application. And that was pretty much what we presented during, I think about 9 months was the whole process. But for that whole about 6 month period, we ended up speaking with faculty members and staff from different departments. And it was really informative to hear about their stories and their challenges that they're experiencing with reaching students. We're all ignoring our emails.
Now,
so
how did you get involved in that Butterworth competition? You were a bio major, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. So through the Blackstone Launchpad, thanks to David Oche and of course Ryan Folan, we were able to explore, be aware of these types of competitions. So Butterworth was one that was coming up. Through the excellent mentorship that we got at the Blackstone Launchpad, we were definitely able to place third place. I know Nice. We would not have gotten there without David and Brian's support.
Now, the Blackstone Launchpad, it sounds like we're going through a rebranding. Then they're going to be called, or they are called, they've always been called the Entrepreneur
Yes.
Center, but they've also had some support from the Blackstone Charitable Foundation.
Yes.
And the Blackstone Group is this massive $300 billion private equity firm that's been paying it forward, using money to help create these entrepreneurial
Right.
hubs on campus. So if you were a student out there, I am going to tell you that there are some serious requirements to get involved with this program. Two in particular, you have to be able to spell UCI and you have to have a pulse. I mean, okay. We're talking
very difficult.
Very difficult.
Very difficult.
But what's fun about the Entrepreneurship Center is it's not so much if the idea is good or bad.
Right.
It's just that you have an idea. And the idea doesn't matter as long as you're solving a problem.
Yeah.
And it's really some of the most foundational steps that you can take to become an entrepreneur. And it's really the wave of the future, because I think there's some crazy stats that over 50% of people that graduate college still become unemployed. And it's a matter of them literally making a decision to work for themselves. And so people end up becoming self-employed even if they don't think that they are going to. And sometimes it's out of necessity.
Yes.
Sometimes it's out of passion. Even if it's just saying, hey, I'll wash your car, or I'll walk your dog, or I'll take odd jobs. Those are all entrepreneurial jobs. And so I think it's just amazing what we're doing here at UCI. And we talked about the Entrepreneur Center yesterday with Ash, in that the mission is really to sort of get all these student entrepreneurs together to give them the support to get out there and solve problems. So you tried to solve the problem of these ants running around with no direction. And you got third place on that.
Yes.
And then you're still a bio student this time, correct?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Surprisingly. So I was still a bio major at the time. And by participating in the Butterworth competition, I was able to network with lots of computer science majors, business majors. Just it was a really diverse array of students who participated. And through all the faculty and staff that we're able to meet, some that we still have very strong relationships with today, it was just really powerful to me and inspired me that I really wanted to be an entrepreneur. At that point, there was no question.
Entrepreneur.
Okay. But I caught the bug and I could not get entrepreneurship out of my mind at that point. So after the conclusion of that project, I ended up working on Bulletin, which is what I'm doing currently. And it's a mobile platform to help students organize their academic deadlines. Through the research that we were able to do with AntMap, we found out that students really cared more about their academics. Go figure. So we decided that this would be a pivot that would make sense. And through the research from AntMap, it really propelled the vision of Bulletin. So with those faculty connections, we were able to start speaking to them about their challenges with trying to reach students and how to organize their own classes. And from students, we also started speaking to them as well to get their own perspective. So I ended up switching my major to public health science because this enabled me to stay here one more year and tack on a new minor. It was called digital information systems, and I took about 7 classes. And one of the most impactful classes I took was human-computer interaction. And the number one lesson I learned was about user research. It was really about going out there and talking to people. And that was really beneficial and really defining what our product roadmap would be. I realized that as a founder and talking with your early teammates that it was so easy to have your own assumptions and really think that that is your reality of what you want to build and build it and they will come. But that is not the reality.
Well, before we get too deep diving into the bulletin, let's see how people can find you out there, because I'm sure people want to check you out, and we just want to remind them how they do that. So how do they find more information online about the bulletin? How do they send you some love? How do they Tom tag you? How do they find you out there in the world?
Yes. So our website is www.bulletinapp.co, and our Twitter account is @TheBulletinApp. We also are on Instagram at @TheBulletinApp.
Okay, so let's go back to this human computer science interaction class. And your biggest takeaway from the human interaction science class research project based laboratory system analysis was not necessarily a digital one.
Right.
It was really talking with people.
Exactly.
And this is an interesting point, because when it comes to social media, we sort of think that we have to go all digital.
Right.
But whether or not you are at UCI, you now can pretend like you've taken, what was the name of the class?
Human Computer Interaction.
Do you know it was like XA or 211 or something?
HCI.
HCI, that sounds more official. So by listening to today's show, you will get an honorary certificate for the HCI Human Interaction class at UC Irvine.
Yes.
And you can become an honorary anteater, and that's very exciting for you, and the community will grow. So the lesson for the class, just skip the going for 10 weeks, skip the midterm, skip the finals.
Woo-hoo!
It's talk to people.
Yes.
What a novel, powerful, and amazing concept. And that's really what we're talking about today, which is the power of talking with people. Because the show title is for market validation and getting more customers and users. Translation, talk to people.
Yes.
Not necessarily tweet people, not necessarily Facebook people, not necessarily hide behind the stupid box. Some people we had on our show earlier called the laptop the stupid box. So we're always looking for new vocabulary here. Talk to people. So tell me about, what is market validation?
Yes. So I would define market validation as having your set of core beliefs or assumptions or hypotheses, if you still want to keep the science theme going here. And then going out and speaking to students or, you know, whoever your target demographic is, and understanding, do their pain points or challenges align with what you define personally as the pain point and the chief objective of how you're going to the solution that you provide to alleviate or mitigate those pain points.
So does this concept of market validation work for weddings, or for birthday parties, or for clothes selections, or for a campus department at UCI to evaluate whether or not what they're doing and the messaging is appropriate for their target market?
Oh, that's phenomenal. We actually just started focusing on this a lot more, because it's easy to kind of passively listen to people. And what I mean by that is you're kind of scanning through what they're saying and looking for the gems of what identifies or what really matches your own kind of assumptions or your own assumptions. But what we're doing more actively now is really engaging every word or dialogue that they're saying. And what this means is when they're describing our product, they started calling our product a digital planner or a time management tool. No longer are we defining what our product is. We're letting our users define, these are the key words they're going to use to search for us. So therefore, let's start tracking how students and professors are describing us.
So I like this concept, because in our own brain, we're a bit skewed, because we think that our product is the best, or we think that our idea is the best, or I picked out the best shirt that I thought I should be wearing today. But I've learned, and you're reinforcing this now, that it's really about active listening.
Yeah.
You said passive listening, right?
Yeah.
Versus active listening.
Exactly.
And I think the same thing can be held true for social media. If you've ever looked at your Twitter, somebody's Twitter feed, mm-hmm. or if you look at your own notifications, oftentimes I feel like we just passively scan.
Yeah, it's true.
And you look through and you're like, oh, that's something that's of interest. Oh, that.
Right.
Versus actually taking the time and actively reading or actively understanding what's going on. Hmm. So where I'm bringing in this kind of random concept of a wedding or a birthday party is that oftentimes we, again, in the same concept, think this event that we're putting on is going to be awesome.
Right.
It's going to be at 11 o'clock, and we're going to have pizza, and everybody loves pizza. This is rad. And then you show up and there's vegetarians, or there's people that have gluten allergies, or there's people that don't want to do it at 11 because you haven't asked them if that's appropriate. So this concept of market validation, I think, could also be event validation, or what shirt am I going to wear validation, right? If you ask your significant other in the morning, does this look good? What shirt? Like, everybody does that, right? But it's something that can apply to the entire scheme of things, and it really comes down to listen, 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 talk. Yeah. And I think that it's important from a social media perspective to be listening to the people that are out there.
Hmm.
Now, you talked about this hypothesis, right? Because we don't want to sit here and just play dumb almost and just listen and say, no, tell me, does this shirt look good? Right? There's a certain amount of confidence. You've got to actually buy the shirts first, and then these people are validating that idea.
Yeah.
Now, when it comes to technology, people are on different spots. We've got grandmas, we've got Matt, we've got you, we've got Richard, who was just in the last show. And so if you think there's a one-size-fits-all from your messaging, it's like trying to pronounce your last name. There's different people with different vocal cords, with different historical or cultural references, and certain words are hard to say.
Yes.
So it's about listening and last name validation. I like this. So because we want to not only talk hypothetically about market validation and sound, I'm going to sit up taller now because I feel like I'm sounding more professional. Maybe I should throw an accent on so it's very, very professional.
You keep the British accent.
Keep it. Yeah. Okay, we'll see how long we can have it going for. I think I can do it. But what all some... Now I'm going like French. What are some tangible things that people can do for market validation, right? Let's get out of the clouds and let's come down onto the ground and say, you know, what are these tactics? You talked about talking to people, but even that's hard to find the people to talk to. So step us through this process and let's come up with an example of how market validation works through the specific steps that you take to do it. And I love that you always, for as digital as you are, you always have a notebook.
Yes, I do.
She is like the queen.
My best friend.
Note taker. What's its name?
Mr. Notebook.
Mr. Notebook. See, for however digital you are, there's still value in having a friend like Mr. Notebook.
Yes.
Okay. So let's talk through maybe the top three or the first three things that you do. Whether you have a product, like Matt just disclosed, he's got some cool, crazy idea.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
An airplane that has more leg room for big people. What's my market validation there?
Okay, so you have an idea. So the problem is that you're a large guy. You're 6'7". How are you? 7'6" or 8'2"?
No, I'm 6'3".
Okay, 6'3".
The pain point for me is being jammed up on the back of the seats, and my knees literally hit the back of the seats. So the pain point there is I need more leg room.
Okay, so here's a great example, right? Now, I'm very tall, too. I'm 5'10 and a half, and I have similar problems when I'm, in a crushed corner seat, and I have everything in the seat in front of me. So I feel your pain, right? Mm-hmm. Or maybe that's when I'm on a bus or I'm just squished in a car. But if Matt was going to go out there and start to do this market validation, one, it's valuable, right? Because his idea might or might not work in his own mind. What are some of the steps that he would take to validate that idea? Like, what's step one?
Well, step one is just figuring out what I like to do, use all the time, is Google Forms. So I would sit there with a teammate and really think through what do we want to learn from our customer. So this would help to kind of structure the conversation. Again, you still want to keep it very open-ended so that you're learning new things and countering your own biases. But by having this initial survey, it's really helpful in just determining what we want to accomplish during this conversation. And then the second aspect is identifying, you mentioned, big people traveling, need more leg space. So then you're already kind of picking through who are your two, what describes that market segment. So the first thing that stands out, you need people who are frequent flyers. The second thing that stands out is what sector is most likely to have tall people? Athletes. So now that you have frequent flyers and athletes, that's a perfect market demographic for you.
People in business, too. I think there's a certain percentage of CEOs that are over 6 foot four or something
people,
like that.
Big, big people in business.
Big people in business. That's,
hashtag,
yeah, that's
hashtag we're looking for big people in business.
Business class.
Okay, so I love this. We have this concept or this new idea.
Yeah.
And to validate the idea, that's this market validation, first we're going to figure out what it is that we're looking for. And you can do that through a Google Forms.
Yes.
GTO Google Forms.
So Google Forms is basically a tool that's free to use via the Google Drive or Google Docs or that whole Google platform.
The Google atmosphere.
Yes, ecosystem.
The universe. The Google universe.
The Google Galaxy.
The Google Galaxy. I like it. Watch out, Samsung. So the Google universe, this Forms, actually... Yes. If you do not know about Google Forms and you are hearing my voice right now, you need to know. It is one of the most powerful Google Galaxy tools. So tell us how we even find that online, because if you click on, you're in your Gmail.
Right.
And then up in the right-hand corner, there's the awesome picture that you choose for yourself. And then there's, I think, 9 little dot squares.
Yes. Yeah.
So you click on that, and that's how you access your Drive.
Exactly.
And that's how you access... your YouTube and all the other Galaxy asteroids, the Google-stroids. And then in the first box, it's not going to be there.
Right.
So typically you have to click more.
Yeah.
And then you can go in and you find one that says Forms. And what's so cool about Forms, I use it all the time, is that you can literally drag and drop and create this very professional-looking survey.
Yeah.
And then the answers that people answer drop into a spreadsheet.
Yes.
And then maps it all out.
Exactly.
Like, I don't know how to do stuff on Excel, but Google Forms figures it out for me.
Yes.
Right? So you're using Google Forms to create a survey.
Yeah.
And then you're finding your market of who you would send the survey to.
Yes.
Because it's not good to send that survey to short people, right?
Exactly.
Mm. Okay. Matt's like, no, that's not going to work. Okay. So you've figured out that you're going to poll your audience to some extent. And this is a very digital approach.
Yeah.
And then you are looking to make sure you know who to get in front of.
Yes.
Then what?
Yeah. So now that you know who you want to get in front of, now the third part is figuring out how to get in front of them. So social media is a great tool if you're going to send out this link to the survey of, you know, finding maybe Facebook groups that have athletes or, you know, entrepreneurs that are consists of tall people or, you know, big and tall stores. So any of those mediums where you're more likely to find tall people, you could definitely post, hi, you know, I'm a student working on this project. I would love to get your insight on this, you know, platform that we're creating, and have a link to your URL through Google Forms. So that's an excellent way to get, you know, quantitative data at very easily, very low cost. But what I like to use Google Forms more so is just of a reference point. So we actually go out there, and let's say you sent it out, you got maybe 200 respondents on your survey. Go out and actually start talking to people. So you don't want to actually have the survey, because it's kind of a weird, kind of takes away.
Yeah, whenever you see somebody with a clipboard, unless they're selling boba, it's very intimidating.
Exactly. That's very true. So that's why we like to just keep it very conversational. And a survey just sounds, it's as a reference point. So it's kind of a mental checklist of what you need to cover. But it really helps you to go out there and talk to people. After you talk to maybe about 3 or 4, it's like clockwork. So you don't even have to look at that survey ever again until you need to go back and do that data entry. So the conversation is very, very crucial, because another part that we started, what we learned from doing user research, is that you also have to ask a lot of whys. If you haven't read Simon Sinek's book, Start With Why, please read that. That really changed my life.
And the book is great, but the TED Talk is less of a commitment.
Yes.
And Simon Sinek, his Start With Why.
Yes.
I've got a whole iceberg theory that is the difference between what and how.
Yes.
And sometime we'll have coffee and have a polite fight about it, but I don't disagree with starting with the why.
Yeah.
Now, have you heard of the 5 whys?
No, I have not.
Okay, look at, she's writing it down in Mr. Notebook. Matt, have you heard of the 5 whys?
I have not.
Okay. This comes from an interesting time in the U.S. history where car manufacturing was taking off. And overseas, there was huge competition because overseas were outperforming the quality of the vehicles. Mm-hmm. So there's a couple individuals that went over to, I think it was China and Japan, and they really dug down and they looked at the process. And one man in particular thought that he figured out what it was. He came back to the United States and said, I know why they are outproducing us with quality and quantity and everything. The U.S. said, we don't believe you. We like what we're doing. Mm-hmm. That was not a very good part of market research, right? They had the answer there in front of them.
Right.
So the guy literally went, fine, I'm going to go overseas. He went overseas and he developed discovered what was already existing called the five whys. What happens in a manufacturing situation, let's say the car comes off the line and there's a door that has a misalignment. Mm-hmm. In the United States, they would sit there and go, okay, well, let's just realign the door.
Right.
And overseas, they would say, why did that door come out ajar?
Uh-huh.
And then they look for the answer. And then they would say, why did that machine make the door ajar? That's two whys. And then they would ask, well, why is that machine not working properly? Mm. And they would find out that maybe it wasn't calibrated. Well, why wasn't it calibrated? That's right. The third why. So on the fourth why and the fifth why, statistically, when you ask five why questions,
right.
it's like the two-year-old clothes. Okay? Mommy, how come that works? It's because of this. Well, why? It's because of this. Why? Right. It's because of this. Why? It's because of this. Why? And you two-year-olds get to the answer.
Yeah.
So it ended up in this example is that the reason why a door was ajar is because the oil pressure was low in a machine like 30 yards back in the process that you would have never known.
Exactly.
So it's getting to the root and asking the why questions. This has a lot to do with market validation, because sometimes people aren't going to give you the best answer.
Yes.
Or they'll just give you the answer that
it's kind of superficial. Just
yeah.
Things that you just naturally say. It's kind of a natural response that you've already kind of trained yourself to say without thinking.
Because they might be passive listening
exactly.
to you and
exactly.
be like, don't get excited and beat up the microphone. It didn't do anything to you. Mr. Notebook, calm down. It's like, whoa. So this surface level response probably is a passive listening. I mean, you know,
yes.
when you're on campus in Ring Road and you're signing up or taking a survey to get the $5 gift card for Starbucks or to get the free boba, your focus is on just answering the questions
yeah.
as fast as possible and getting the heck out of there.
Yes.
So this whole, well, why do you think that makes you all of a sudden go, well, and really think about it.
Exactly.
So these conversations are having deep conversations, really.
Yes. Exactly.
Now, I have a random idea, and we have never taken a caller on the air. So if you are out there and you have a new idea or crazy business, or you're a student, you're a faculty, you're a staff, you're a community member, or you're all across as far away from the world as possible, and you still have a phone connection, if you want to give us a call, we'll do a little in-studio live coaching on how to set up your market validation.
Yay.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Okay. The phone lines are not blowing up yet, okay? I was listening to Ryan Seacrest this morning. He put out a call, and it was like, hey, guys, we can't get to all
of
this.
The Battle of the Ryans.
Yeah, they were talking about your favorite teacher. So mine was Mrs. Jennings in third grade, by the way. But the phone lines are still not blowing up. But that's okay. You know why? Because I haven't given them the phone number. If you want to call in, that's 949-824-5824. 949-824-5824. 949-5. It actually spells 949-KUCI. And no one's calling, but that's okay. If they don't call, we'll actually take a fake caller so that at least I am not at a zero. If you're listening, this is Get Notified. We're 30 minutes into an hour show, and it's awesome. We are talking about how to validate your ideas. And the tie-in with social media is very clear, because if you want to find out information, one of the best channels is social platforms.
Right.
But you can't just go out there and post something and say, hey, I want to make a bigger plane.
Yeah.
What do you think?
Yeah.
It's got to be strategic.
So exactly.
It's about actively listening to people who are in the right target market
yeah.
for what the product is. Right. Although I am 5'10 and a half, I feel like I'm a very big person. So you might want my opinion.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's cool.
Oh, yeah.
So you've got your hypothesis down about what you want. You're using Google Forms to get out there to get a foundation. Then you're actually talking with people and you're gathering this quantitative data.
Right.
Quantitative being you actually have the numbers.
Exactly.
What do you do now?
Great question. Because I think this is where a lot of people can fall short. You have so much data, it could be, you know, paralysis analysis or analysis paralysis. You don't know what to do with this data.
Say that
now.
Five times fast.
Analysis paralysis. Yeah, so it could be very frustrating or overwhelming now that you have all these numbers, or also the numbers may not be in your favor.
I was going to say, what if the answers are not what you wanted?
Yeah, so dealing with negative feedback could be very difficult, literally.
We have an evolutionary trait about us that I'm really fascinated with. It's that our brains try to convince ourselves that we are always right.
Yes.
And that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But one of my favorite examples is that if you're driving in a car and you're like, oh my gosh, you're thinking I'm going to be late, then everything that you see is a justification of why you're going to be late.
Yeah.
That car's going too slow. Oh my gosh, I should have gotten this red light. And you go into this rap world.
Right, chaos.
So in the same respect, if you have this idea or this concept, or even if you're a department at UCI and you're like, we are the blank center and right, this is what we do, you'll start looking for justification of that.
Yeah.
But it might be at a disconnect because each year, there's a whole fresh set of freshmen that come in,
right?
And maybe they don't know culturally the same thing you do, and there's this disconnect.
Yeah.
So it's so important to understand and listen to your customers, your clients, your students. Does this work from a standpoint in the classroom? Does it? I mean, do teachers try to get feedback?
Oh, yes. Of course.
Like, definitely. You're in a class, and at the end, they send out that awkward, here, everybody, before you go, right? I have like one final quiz or one final study guide for the final,
right,
and I have it in my hand, but I'm not going to give it to you until you fill out that form.
The evaluations.
Right?
Yeah.
So evaluations are sort of like market validation.
Yeah.
And they're asking, was this teacher good? Were they bad? Were they? Mm-hmm. And you're getting feedback.
Yes.
Now, this brings up an interesting point about, I'm going to have a very hard time with this word, almost as hard as your last name, but anonymity. I got it. Tell me about anonymity and your name being attached to it. Are you more successful when you have an anonymous survey, or when somebody's talking to you, are they more honest if they know that their name's not going to be attached with the information?
I think the latter is definitely very true. But the benefit, again, of going out the door and speaking to people directly is that they're willing to tell you their first name. Of, you know, it's normal. Hi, I'm so-and-so.
Like, right.
That's normal. So you'll get that information. And that's what I love about being personable and being with people to get information or just to have a conversation, because it's so free-flowing. There's no reason that someone would feel apprehensive about sharing information with you unless you're badgering them.
Right, or you're leading the witness, right?
Yes, exactly.
You ask them a question like, so do you think that large people have a hard time on planes? Right. And they're like, well, no, not really.
Right.
No, let me ask you again.
Yeah.
Do you think?
Yeah.
And you get all pumped up or something.
Exactly.
I don't see Matt doing that. I see him just going, okay.
All right. I'll ask you after you've been on a few plane rides. Just a few.
Yeah. Now, again, let's bring this back home. We're talking about market validation. Mm-hmm. Whether you have an idea for larger seats on a plane, whether you have a digital notebook that is a Mr. Notebook but on crack because it helps you with everything that you need to do, your idea is only the start. It's about finding what that feedback is.
Yes.
And online, a lot of times the feedback comes by way of messages, mm-hmm, by likes, mm-hmm, especially with Facebook now. Think about this.
Right.
Facebook used to be only to where you can like something.
Mm-hmm.
Now you have that love, you have that shock, you have that cry, you have the crying out loud. They literally have made commenting, mm-hmm, a market feedback.
Yes.
For your own posts, right? So think about this. This is crazy for a minute. I bet you if we made a survey and we polled 1,000 people,
right,
and tried to somehow discover the correlation between market validation, mm-hmm, and actual comments and likes, mm-hmm, on their Facebook and their Twitter and their Instagram, I don't know if they would see that as a connection. But if you think about it, if I have a daily quote, so my daily quote before or last night was about pausing, right? Mm-hmm. Use pauses for more power. And the fact that people are commenting on it, that they're liking it, is somewhat a validation concept.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think that you are immune to market validation, if you're online, you're not. Really, social media is all about market validation and social validation and social proof. Because if you see someone that has 100,000 followers on Twitter, granted that they're real. Here we go. For all those people that have bought fake followers, you're going to hate me right now. Because if you see somebody and you're like, wow, they have 500,000 followers, but you talk with them or you don't see the engagement and you smell that they might be disingenuous, you can go to twitteraudit.com. Twitteraudit.com. Yeah, I know all of you are so pissed because you're just turning off the radio right now because you don't want everyone to know that you're not authentic with your followers. Twitteraudit.com. And you can type in a person's Twitter handle, wow, and it will show you how many people are real on a percentage basis, and it'll actually call out the number of fake followers.
Huh.
So again, validation can be skewed, right? Because right, you can say that you have 100,000 followers, but maybe that's like going out with a clipboard and talking to a tree and filling out the information for them. So I think there's a lot more to this market validation when it comes to social media than people might think. Right, you are your own product, you are your own brand. Matt, you're going to be this rock star radio show host about a sports thing.
Hopefully.
Stop it. Words are powerful. They yeah, start as thoughts, they become words, and they become actions. You remember Valerie? She was here. Valerie Shepherd. She would be yeah, so disappointed in you right now.
I need to go see her laughter yoga. You know,
I'm going to ask you again. So, Matt, you are going to create this awesome radio show around sports, right?
Yes.
Yes. Of course.
Of course. Of course. Of course.
Yeah.
And whether or not your show goes in a direction that people like is going to be dependent on you listening to people who are giving you feedback on your show.
Right.
So it's really market validation is feedback. It's social proof. It's all these things to help you, whether it's a product or your personal business or your department on campus. I'm excited about this. I genuinely am nerding out right now.
So am I.
Okay. So we have this concept of getting the information, we get the data,
right,
we analyze it, we pretend like we're scientists, and if the information is skewed or there's outliers, mm-hmm, just own it and sort of revise.
Yes.
And then have that be the guide to your product.
Yes.
Now, how do you then take that information and try mm-hmm, to get more users or more customers? Or yes, if you are the Entrepreneur Center, how do you use this student feedback to get more people in the door?
So the awesome thing about the surveys and interviewing people is you start to figure out the ones that really get excited or who get it. And sometimes the person who's the most negative about your product, really befriend that person because they get it. They're really passionate about this space. If this is a real pain point for me, they're going to be really critical about, I don't see why your product is good for me right now, but I see the potential. So you want to keep those, kind of ping those people or mark those people on your list of, you know, VIPs or people you really want to keep in the loop. So this is where, from the surveys, you can start actually building a mail list, provided that you get the permission, of course. But once you build that mailing list, you'll be able to start shooting them, you know, insider information. You know, thank you for spending so much time with us. We really appreciate your insight. We look forward to growing with you. So just keeping them informed about what you're doing and then being able to tap into that existing network to get further research. So we're just about to release a new feature. We would love your insight on this. Please share with your friends.
Where do we find that? Tell us again where we can how can we help to validate your product? Because Matt wants to share with you his information about whether or not it's going to solve his pain point. Not the pain point of the plane pain. Okay? The plane pain. I like this. Hashtag plane pain. So how about it? I mean, is keeping in touch with your enemies and the people that don't mm-hmm, like it, that really is this guiding light that
yes,
you're saying.
Yes.
So when you've got a hater, well, if you have a hater online, stop and don't do anything. This is a little different because for haters and trolls online, the only thing that they want is for you to respond. So we're not saying take all the people that have negative comments right, like your post stinks or
yeah,
you should go jump off a bridge.
Yeah.
Don't take that as market validation.
No.
There's a lot of cyberbullying that goes on and there's a lot of, you know, girl on girl hate and there's a lot of guys that are tearing each other down and that's different.
Right.
That's trolling, that's hating, and that needs to not be perpetuated.
Correct.
Now, you take it with a grain of salt, and I always like to say a dog doesn't bark at a parked car. So if you're out there and you're doing something, some people are going to chirp up, and they're going to bark at you, mm-hmm, right? Because you're actually doing something.
Right.
But it might be stemmed from jealousy. It might be stemmed from anger. It might be stemmed from some misunderstanding,
right,
some life experience that they had when they were a kid, and they're yeah, just angry. So let's not confuse
constructive criticism.
Constructive criticism.
Yeah.
So what are some of these key points that we can do that now we have the information to actively gain users using social media? Is there a certain platform that you prefer for you? Like your experience with Bulletin, how right. are you reaching out there to get people to become customers, to become yes. users?
So you mentioned the Google form. So using that to pretty much, you know, get their first name, last name, email address. So this is then used to create our mailing listserv. And that's, we love MailChimp. They have an awesome UI. You could tell their corporate culture by the way they designed the company and their platform. So we use that to really send personal newsletters to people who we followed or who've really expressed interest in our platform. And also the ones who did not really express interest, because we really want to keep those people engaged, that we took your criticism, we took your feedback, and now look what we're going to do and accomplish with that. So by having that MailChimp service, MailChimp.com, you could create an account. They allow you to have, I think, about up to 2,000 free contacts. So it's a great platform to utilize.
Now, are you sponsored by MailChimp? Do you have an affiliate link? Because
no,
you
I
should. If you don't
promo.
Know what an affiliate link is, uh-huh. you know, she's getting out the notebook
yes,
again. We got a new page. Affiliate links are a huge way that people make money online. And if you don't know this, it's a little side story. Literally, they give you a special link that's tagged. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of, like, Amazon has affiliate programs. I don't know if MailChimp does, but let's say that you have a lot of people you're talking to and you're always promoting, saying, wow, this is an amazing service.
Right.
If they have an affiliate program and then people sign up through your link, you usually get a percentage or some sort of a kickback. And it's all above board. It's very exciting. So if you're out there and you have a product that you're using and you're passionate about, find out if there's an affiliate link, because you might be able to make money by just sharing an amazing service with someone.
Cool.
All right. Matt, are you learning today?
Oh, so much.
So much. Okay, so yesterday, Matt was afraid to share his idea, and we strongly suggested that it would not live in the world at all. And the more it lives in the world, the more you get feedback.
So yeah.
since yesterday, in the last 24 hours, Matt, have you seen a progress in the idea, in the concept, in your passion for this business idea?
Oh, yes. You're definitely hired when this company comes out. Yeah.
Hired. Nice. You see that? You just got a job.
Awesome.
I think she's busy, though. So tell us about what you're doing here at UCI. What problem are you solving at UCI? Because you're going after UCI students, right?
Yes.
And you're literally trying to solve their problem of being disorganized.
Yes, we are.
And you had one of those classic epiphany moments where you woke up in the middle of the night and you're like, oh my gosh, I got the idea.
Yes.
And then your life has just been crazy since. And you just don't want to leave UCI.
Yes. I mean, just reflecting back on my undergrad experience, I was very type A organized. I had a wall calendar, I had a whiteboard, a planner, you name it, I tried it. And I was just literally tired of spending 4 hours of my life micromanaging the amount of pages I should be reading each day. Where on the flip side, my social life is super organized. I have Facebook, I have Twitter. It's organized for me. So I saw there's a huge disconnect between educational technology and just organization in general versus our social lives being so organized. So I literally woke up in the middle of the night with the idea. And as a pre-med major, waking up and telling my parents and siblings, they're like, that's great. But you have no skill sets in order to bring this to fruition. But the passion and energy and you know, back to that user validation by being able to talk to so many people, students, faculty, and then getting a check from a department to pay for this product, that was clear validation that we're solving a huge pain point.
Dang. And if you were in studio, you would have just seen how, like, she manifested all of that frustration of the micromanaging
yes.
craziness. She literally just got like, oh my God, like, I was there. I was reliving it. That was painful.
Yeah.
So now you're at UCI. You've got this pilot going since 2015. What
yes.
are the next steps for you with this business?
So our next steps, we're already expanding to a Cal State as well for the January winter quarter session. And right now, what we've been doing this summer, luckily through the UCI Applied Innovation, also known as the COVE.
GTO COVE.
Yes, COVE is...
Wait. And for those of you, I see GTO is now part of my vocabulary. So if you're just listening to us, welcome. We will see you every Tuesday and Wednesday from 8 to 9 with awesome guests like this. And GTO, in respect for my grandma, because she maybe doesn't know about social media, is... A GTO is a grandma time out. So I want to know your GTO for The Cove.
Yes. So The Cove is located behind the medical school. It's a great platform or space to really bring your idea. So once you go through the Blackstone Launchpad or Entrepreneur Center and you have your idea, you go to The Cove to really scale it and bring this idea into market. So they have over 300 EIRs or experts in residence, and they're just mentors who have they're serial entrepreneurs, they're working in the industry, there's access to investors. So there's no reason for you not to have the personnel or people in your corner to help, to just have a sounding board and to help you really plan how to bring this to fruition. So The Cove is an excellent resource to really bring your product out there.
And speaking of products in The Cove, my shameless plug, I'm an organizer at the OC Tech Happy Hour, and that's going on tonight. Yes. At The Cove. It's a free event. Find us on Meetup, which is a whole nother social media platform. Yes. Probably have 250 people there, and today we're talking about immersive technology and VR. So it's going to be crazy. And it's happy hour because we provide the happy drinks, and it's free. So it's very happy. Okay, so we have had an amazing time covering topics from how to initially start getting feedback from people,
yes,
all the way to getting behind your stupid box computer and talking with people. Not only just talking with people, but asking legitimate questions that dig down into the why, gathering that data, and then using that data to make decisions.
Yes.
And then using those decisions to acquire the right types of customers.
Yes.
And that then allows you to do things like raise money or, yes, get support from it, because there's this movement of people behind it. People, yes, have already tasted a number of variations of your recipe before it's that perfect recipe and people like it.
Yes.
Because people have different taste buds and different pronunciations of last names.
And it's important to know that the user research is just not, okay, we did it once, we know everything we need to know, and then that's that. No, we've consistently gone out there and spoken to students and faculty because their lives are constantly evolving. Our lives are constantly evolving. So it's really important to keep that communication and connection going. And that's the beauty of social media. So just a little bit of...
Did you just say beauty of social media?
Yes.
I don't think anyone has used social media as the beauty of social media. So we cater to people that love social media, want to get it better. And all of them just smiled and went... The beauty of social media. For those of you that hate social media, you're like, how can you da-da-da-da? And for those people that are confused, maybe now they're a little bit more excited.
Yes.
The beauty of social media.
Bob Ross is smiling somewhere.
Who?
Bob Ross, the guy on Netflix that paints.
Oh, yeah.
He's smiling somewhere.
He is ear to ear. Maybe that's going to be my next show. The beauty of social media. Maybe we'll have it with a little jazz. It'll be a little talk. Bring on people. Okay. So the beauty of social media, let's talk about some nuggets that can help people here on campus, because students are on social media, yes or no?
Right. Yes.
And from your market validation, where do you think the students are on social media right now? What are the top three sites that UCI students, and most likely that translates to other people, where are they online? But before you answer that, this is going to get dramatic.
Dun, dun, dun.
I'm playing with the pause. It is powerful. I don't know how that sounded, but that's okay. So towards the end of the show, we like to do this thing called the Facebook Live 5. And we're utilizing the beauty of social media to share your message with the world. So I have the Facebook Live open.
Uh-huh.
And I think everyone out there is going to be interested in the question of where are students online?
Right.
Because students are a great population,
yes,
to do that. So
they
before
are.
I have to repeat myself, I am now 3, 2, 1. Hello. This is a live inception because we are live on the radio, live on Facebook Live, which is Facebook Live 5 inceptionness. I am Ryan Follin, your DJ Ginger MC, and I have an amazing guest here today, and we are going to spend a few minutes talking about not only the market validation concept, but more importantly, where are college students online? From somebody who talks to them all the time.
Yes.
Flip the camera. Isosa, say hello.
Hello.
And say hi, Mr. Notebook.
Hi, Mr. Notebook.
No, the notebook's supposed to say hi. Hi, Mr. Notebook. And we got Matt. Matt, what's up?
How's it going?
How's it going? All right. Tell us where students are on social media.
Yes.
Everybody wants to know.
So number one is Snapchat. That's definitely a very popular social media tool.
Okay, GTO Snapchat. And for those of you who don't know, GTO is a grandma timeout. It's like, let's, she's going to explain to a grandma, or if you don't know, what Snapchat is.
So Snapchat is, I want to say, is the evolution of Instagram, where Instagram tends to be very temporal. It's kind of what may have happened today, where Snapchat is very instantaneous. This is what's happening right now. So that's that whole demand aspect is what makes Snapchat so popular.
But now Instagram has cheated or stolen the whole Snapchat concept.
Yes.
So people are still on Snapchat?
Yes, definitely.
So the consensus is that are the youth and the students excited or angry at Instagram?
I think excited.
Okay.
Yeah,
but are
it validates Snapchat.
It validates, but are they on Snapchat more than they are Instagram?
They're definitely more on Snapchat.
Okay, so you've heard it here. All right, so people and students are on Snapchat. Where else are they next?
Next is still Instagram, because it's still very visual. It's definitely a step up from our old Facebook usage. We all have read those articles about millennials. So Instagram is definitely still a very strong feat.
All right, and rounding out for the top three, drum roll. Matt, give me a drum roll. Where are students?
I will say Facebook still.
Okay.
So that may be a surprise, but there's still a lot of campus groups and organizations who have their own Facebook pages and manage their groups and members on there. So Facebook is also another still strong one to reaching students.
All right, and shameless plug for you and Bulletin, what you're doing for students. Here you go.
So Bulletin is a digital planner to help students organize their academic life. You could find us at www.bulletinapp.co. You could also follow us on Twitter and Instagram at the Bulletin app.
All right. And you have been notified here, people at KUCI. And let's give a final zot, 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 1, 2, 3. Zot, zot, zot. Thank you, because I guess I was the only person that did that. But it's my show and I don't care. All right. We're out of here. That was our Facebook Live 5. Oh, look, we got Mark Deppy and Ash Coomer watching. Hey, guys. Wait, now that Ash, you're on here, well, I'm going to give you a shameless plug. So, Isosa, have you heard about Youngry?
Yes, I have.
Tell us about Youngry.
So Youngry is an awesome entrepreneur resource for youthful entrepreneurs, and it's basically an entertainment and media company.
Oh, are you gonna invest on this equity crowdfunding campaign?
I'm definitely a huge supporter of Youngry.
Nice.
So I'll be investing.
And look, Mark Deppy said hi. Do you know about the whole new UCI
esports initiative?
Yeah, what do you think about that?
I think it's awesome. There's we don't have a football league, so to have an esports league and to be the champions of that, it's very exciting.
Oh, we're gonna rock it. All right. Thank you, Mr. Ash and Mr. Mark and all the other funky bunch out there. People are on Snapchat, they're on Instagram, and they're on Facebook.
Yes.
So I'm gonna finish. We gotta finish the show. We're actually live here. Okay, I gotta get back to it. All right. So that was fun. I think that what you're doing is amazing, because one of the biggest problems students have is organization.
Yes.
And I don't think that ever is going to change. And Matt is just nodding his head.
That's like, my biggest problem is organization.
Aside from being a big man on a small plane.
Yeah, that too.
Okay. So, Isosa, for those people that are out there, mm-hmm. what are the final sort of nuggets that they need to take away about validating their idea? Mm-hmm. And using that to get their customers? If you had to sort of wrap it all up, what would you say?
So the top three is understand what you want to learn. And then number two, really do your research on defining who your target customer is. And then once you have that, you really need to do research on what do they like. You know, what? So for instance, for students, we just found out Snapchat's one of their main resources. So finding out if that's their target platform, that's how you're going to reach them. And then number three is, we said it ultimately throughout this show, talk to people, talk to people, talk to people, and do not be afraid of negative feedback. That will serve to be your gems and to really help you define your product.
Okay, so you said the beauty of social media and now gems.
Yes.
Right? So I love the way that you're spinning this whole thing into such a positive light, right?
Yeah.
Because it's sometimes a nasty world out there, and not everybody likes your product. Not everybody's a big person out there, Matt.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Sorry.
All right. Well, you are listening to Get Notified, and if you want to find more about Isosa and the amazing things that she's doing, if you want to join on the club, it's the Bulletin
app.
The Bulletin app. And spell that, please.
T-H-E, BULLETINAPP.
See, I always get the E and the I confused, and so that's challenging for me. So we'll see you online. Show us some love if you liked anything. And, oh, wait, look, we have a caller coming in. Oh, my gosh, another caller. Look, wait, hold on. Oh, hello. I'm sorry. We're just about out of time. I know. Hold on. Okay, next. Yeah, no, this is not Ryan Seacrest. Wrong show. Okay, the phone lines are just blowing up right now. Everybody wants to call and talk to us because they want to get stepped through this crazy market to validate. But guys, we got to go. This is crazy. We will see you back next week when I am not sure what we're going to talk about, but it's going to be awesome. Make sure to validate everything from your clothes to your next event to just about anything. Yeah. And remember, those comments and the feedback that you're getting online, think of them as social validation. Mm-hmm. Don't reply to the haters. You are who you are. Be strong. Use positive words, Matt, because what kind of show are you going to have?
A positive show.
No, a sports show.
Okay.
Maybe a positive sports show. Okay. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are out of here. Don't forget to call your grandma. She needs to hear your voice. And yes, call your grandpa too, and maybe even your parents. And in honor of Ryan Seacrest, call or visit your favorite teacher and let them know that they are making an impact on your life. Hopefully this show impacts you a little bit. I know, Asosa, you've impacted mine, and we are out of here.
Thank you.
I don't know what music this is, but Matt chose it. So if you don't like it, it's his fault.
I grabbed a random
CD. Stay tuned for Writers on Writing coming up next.